If you have your Bibles, please stand as we read Galatians 5. And I also realized that, hey, for those in the back, I forgot my clicker. So if you don't mind, yes, thank you. Galatians 5, 13 through 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Father, we pray in this moment for open hearts and open minds. We pray your Holy Spirit work in us something new. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Sawubona. Sawubona is the African Zulu greeting that means I see you. But it's actually more than just your standard hello, as we're used to using that word. Sawubona is actually a deeper hello than just hi. Sawubona has a richer meaning than just hello. And in fact, as Bev Oda found out, and Bev Oda, who is the Canadian International Cooperation Minister, found out, it actually means, I see you, but I see your personality. I see your humanity. I see your dignity. During a week in 2018, the Canadian government official visited an East African refugee camp where many were coming because they were facing droughts, famines, and government crisis. She recalls the nutrition centers passing out biscuits and water, but having to be careful how they passed out those biscuits and water. You see, those refugees coming in's bodies were so fragile that they could not pass the biscuits through their system unless they were dipped in water first. She talks about seeing the leathery, cracked feet of children who had walked hundreds of miles just to get to the refugee camp. She tells the story of seeing one lady sitting on a bench who had been pushed out of her village a month earlier, and in her arms was a 3-day-old baby. And another woman sitting next to her had left 21 days earlier, having a baby along the way and now holding a 16-day-old baby. But what you didn't know about this and this story that Bev Oda was writing about is that she could have actually just received all of these briefings from her Canadian office in Ottawa. She could have received all of these briefings sitting in her nice, comfortable chair behind her nice desk. But instead, Bev Oda took a week of vacation, took a week of her own vacation to head to East Africa to go see what was happening for herself. And whether she knew it or not, Bev Oda was practicing Sawubona. Paul, in this closing paragraph that we read in chapter 5, Paul, in this closing paragraph, as he's beginning to finish the letter of Galatians, begins to give some practical implications. As he's been talking about this shaping that God is doing, he says it's going to look a certain way. That the people of God who are shaped by the Spirit will act a certain way, will embody a certain way of being. And I think as we'll see as we read this chapter, as we read these verses, that Paul is telling us that we will be a people who practice soabana. We will see people, but we will not only see people, we will see their humanity, we will see their dignity, we will see who they are. Because freedom for Paul, as we saw in verse 13, freedom has a certain shape to it. We know what shape it should look like. We know how we should be. Paul's been kind of working through this, saying, this is how you should look. That freedom from those elemental spirits that we talked about last week, freedom from those elemental spirits does not look like a freedom where you can do whatever you want to do. He says this in verse 13, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. It's not for you to do whatever you want to do. You see, that's what those elemental spirits that Paul had just talked about in chapter 4 wants you to believe. They want you to believe that your freedom is about being able to do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel good. In fact, so you can treat people in the way that you want to treat them. Freedom to be mean-spirited to those not like us. Freedom to not see the person as a person. A freedom to use dehumanizing language without ever realizing you're using dehumanizing language because it doesn't affect me. Freedom in Christ is not a warrant to act however you want to act and treat people however you think you need to treat them. Freedom in Christ does not give you that kind of freedom. In fact, Paul says Christian freedom looks completely different. In fact, it even looks more different than what we think about as freedom in America. Christian freedom has a deeper almost meaning than that. It's like the word soabana. It means more than just hello. Freedom in Christ is a deeper, richer meaning. It means Christ is formed in you. It means to have Christ's heart working in you. Christ's heart will give you the freedom to, as Paul says, be a slave to one another. It will free you to cross to the other side of the road like the Good Samaritan of Luke 10. It means you'll be freed to wash the feet of both sinners and saints in John 13. It will be a freedom that is not concerned about what the freedom of the world is concerned about. It will mean a freedom that notices what's happening in the world and begins to see like Jesus. It's a freedom that is concerned for others, as Paul says in that part of 13 and 14. It's even the freedom that Jesus talks about in Luke, starting in verse 9, or starting in chapter 9, verse 23, when Jesus says this: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. The whole of the law, Paul says, is summed up. Did you see that in that 14? All of the law is summed up in what? In loving your neighbor. Notice what all the law is not summed up. It's what he's been fighting against this entire time. All of the law is not summed up in circumcision. It is not summed up in dietary laws. It is not summed up in any kind of conformity based on the rules you create. We've been talking about this for the last few weeks. It is not based on any of that. But what Paul says the law is based on is love. To fulfill the law, you will love one another. But this is something that it's not too easy for us. We know we should do it. We know we should love our neighbor. We know that we should love each other. But we have a tendency of sometimes doing the opposite. We sometimes have a way of saying, well, Jesus will love like me, right? So whoever I love is kind of whoever Jesus loves. if we look at the life of Jesus, we begin to notice that it's much more difficult than that. We have a way of believing that we're loving all the right people and hating all the right people. But if we really look at the way Jesus lived, we notice things. We notice that a love of neighbor, a love of enemy, a love of one another was not a conditional policy by Jesus. It wasn't, if you feel like it today, then you can love your enemy. If you feel like it today, then you can love your neighbor. Everywhere we turn in the Gospels, we notice this love of other, love of neighbor, love of enemy exuding, coming out of Jesus. Even when he encounters the Pharisees, when he encounters those who were saying different things than him, do you notice how Jesus talks to them? It's not mean-spirited. It's not dehumanizing. It's not trying to one-up them. The way we see Jesus even encountering those neighbors is one of love. He encounters the rich ruler, and there's that part of the rich ruler, it says, and Jesus looked at him and loved him. This love of neighbor is not some conditional thing that we can decide on if we like the guy sitting next to us, but not if we don't like the person on the left next to us. This love of neighbor was not like, if you want to do this, do this. For Jesus, this is what it was about. They will know you are Christians by what? By how well you follow the rules. No, but they will know you are Christians by how you love one another. Paul envisions a church. Paul envisions a group of people who begin everything with love. If it doesn't begin with love, then something is missing. If our words, if our actions, and even in our if our relationships do not begin with the love of the person, then we're missing something. Even to speak truth in love. And I know we use that a lot. We've heard it, right? Even to speak truth in love does not give us warrant to say then mean things to somebody. You can speak truth in love without being a jerk. You can. You can do it while still being kind. It doesn't give us the warrant to then speak truth in a derogatory, dehumanizing, rude way. The sum of the law is love your neighbor. People will experience freedom through you. And notice what Paul says here. Paul says, you know what's going to happen as you love your neighbor, as you go beyond yourself? Paul begins to say that something else will begin to be produced in you. As you become a slave to one another, that these fruits of the Spirit will be kind of manifested in you. And did you see what he says? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what your neighbor has the ability to experience. But they only experience what I talked about last week. They'll either experience a freedom in Christ or they're going to experience a slavery to the spirits. What are they experiencing in you? As you love your neighbor, as Christ is working in you, there's the ability for the neighbor to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we can do this, Paul says, now the people, even those who we can't imagine to love, Paul says, have the moment to experience something different than what they've always experienced. They have this moment to experience a different type of fruit. But Paul also says, if you're not careful, they could experience something else. And Paul says this here, and we see it in verse 16 when he says, well, if you're going to be mean to each other, be careful not to just eat each other alive. They also have the experience, if you're not willing to love our neighbor, if we put conditions on loving our neighbor, then Paul says this bitter fruit will be tasted. And he goes, and did you notice that the bitter fruit, there's a lot more of the bitter fruit than there is of the fruits of the Spirit? There's a lot more that goes into this. It's not just the really bad ones that we think about, but did you notice it's also hatred? It's also discord. It's also jealousy. It's also dissension. It's also selfish ambition. It's also envy and factions. I think a lot of us can find ourselves in those. We may not see ourselves in the big ones, but I think we can find ourselves in those. And Paul is saying, if you're not careful, the neighbor will experience these. And if the neighbor experiences these, have you ever noticed how these type of fruits have a way of just building on each other? You've ever had that bad day when someone was mean to you, and then you go home and you're mean to your spouse. You know, you project onto them what happened to you, and then it kind of rolling down the, it just keeps going down the line. Paul says that's not fulfillment. Fulfillment of the law starts and ends. The very foundation of the fulfillment, the very foundation of your freedom is found in you being free to love your neighbor. It's living in the same freedom that Jesus lived in to be able to talk to those who disagreed with him. It's the same freedom that Jesus lived in to be able to eat with the sinners at the table. It was the same freedom that Jesus lived into when he was able to touch the leper when you shouldn't be able to touch the leper. It's the same freedom that we read in this morning, that a guy can be dropped from the middle of a roof and Jesus can look with everyone else who is upset with him and Pharisees and say, not only do I have the freedom to forgive sins, but I also have the freedom to heal. That's the freedom that Jesus lived into. And what Paul is saying is, you too can live in that freedom, a freedom to love a neighbor no matter what. A freedom to not worry that because your neighbor is who your neighbor is, that somehow they will infect you, but you actually have the power to infect them. The only way, though, you can infect them is if you're willing to move beyond the barriers that you've created. And that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? That's what Paul's calling us to do. Paul's calling us to cross barriers instead of build barriers. Break down walls instead of build walls. Unlock our doors instead of lock our doors. Build smaller fences, not taller fences. And in so doing, Paul says, the community becomes more like Jesus. Paul gets down to this and says, if you want to know what the freedom that you have in Christ is, it will look like, and he uses a strong word here. Did you notice what Paul uses? Paul says you're going to become a slave to one another. We've kind of neutered it in the NIV. I think I have it up here, but it says something like we're going to be closer to one another. The actual Greek word is slave. Paul's trying to get you to realize that this is how important this is. You become so bound to the person sitting next to you in community. You become so bound to your neighbor that you are willing to do whatever it takes for them. How do we know that? Because we know this. We know that in Philippians 2, it says this. It says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. In this moment, we realize that that's who we're called. That's who Paul says. All of this has come down to you becoming like this. You becoming one willing to live like the one who became obedient to death for all of us. Who went to the cross for all of us. Who Jesus showed what love of neighbor looks like in this. In fact, what Jesus shows is Jesus shows what soabana looks like in this. That while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And if that's the case, then we can't ignore what's in front of us. If that's the case, then we have to practice soabana, and we need to begin to say, not just, I see you, but I see you. I see who you are as a person. I see your dignity. I see that you have a story that is not like mine, and nor do I want to write my story onto yours. But let me hear your story. Let me understand where you come from, why you are how you are. And let me just listen Love of neighbor is everything. If we want people to experience Jesus, they have to experience love first. They have to experience that the person next to them in their house, that the person sitting next to them today, that the person who is checking your groceries tomorrow, that the lady who's about to wait tables on you, or the man who's about to wait tables on you in the next 30 minutes, you want them to experience Jesus? Let them see this love flow from you. See the person not as your server. See the person as a person. Ask them their name. See how they're doing today. Treat them kindly. All of the law is summed up in love your neighbor. So, Abana, it means I see you. I see you as you. I see you as different than me with the story. But the second part of Sobana is the response. And this response is gikhona. I think I got that right. And so when someone says hello in this African Zulu, when someone says Sobana, the next is gikhona. And gikhona means this: I have been seen. I have been understood. You see my dignity. Not the same as being looked past or objectified or being ignored. When somebody responds with gikhona, what they're saying is, you have seen me as your neighbor. You have seen my story. You have listened to who I am. Jesus said Sobana to all of creation when he went to the cross. And that same spirit that worked in Jesus to take Jesus to the cross, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is what Paul's trying to get the Galatians to realize is living in you in this moment. You have the freedom to not judge but to see, to not condemn but to love, to not be mean but to be kind, to be obedient even to the point of death. But it only happens if we use our freedom to love, to become attached to one another, to become slaves to one another, to carry our brothers and sisters' burdens, not just in here, but also in our neighborhoods. To embody the life of Jesus means to embody the suffering of Jesus. So Abana means that as you see, you will experience their pains, their hurts, their struggles. And you will experience them and take them into you. To suffer with, to run toward, to tear down fences, and anything else that gets in the way of our neighbor is what Paul is telling the Galatians. This is the implications of Christ in you. To show our neighbor and to have our neighbor experience love. Not just hear about it, but to experience. That when we say hello to our neighbors, our hello is something more than just a hi. But our hello is a moment to stand in the space with them and hear them and see them and understand them and love them. To experience that is to open up this world to a different way of living with one another. And Paul's trying to get the Galatians to do that. And Paul says it's going to be you becoming slaves. The hard part of relationships. That's what you're going to be a part of. But he's called his community to be slaves to one another, and in so doing, love your neighbor. See people for who they are, so that when you talk to them, their response can be, "Thank you, I've been seen." Because in the end, that's what we all want, to be seen and known. I think that's this deep hole in every heart, and Jesus is beginning to fill that hole as he has filled our hole with that Holy Spirit. Let us go fill others. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.